He's such a brave lad.
Launch the True Stream.
All right, welcome back to True Stream Oasis. I am your host, Amos Ridley, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Though we sit in darkness, the Lord will be our light. And what a great light that is. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you guys before, but that opening comes from the book of Micah. Actually, it's a combination between Psalm 27:1, which says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I be afraid?" But the other section's a favorite of mine, because first time I read it, it just kind of struck me, and I really liked it. It's Micah 7, verse 8. "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." And that's where that comes from, just for you guys out there that might have been wondering. I like to use blueletterbible.org. It's a wonderful tool. It's got many things that you can do with it. It's, man, where do I even start just to give you a description? Some of you guys out there might already use it and might know about it. But I like to use it because it has the whole Strong's Concordance built into it. So if you're questioning, you know, some of the Greek words or Hebrew words, Hebrew dictionary, with a click of a mouse, you can find this information. It even goes into Vine's expository, gives you the Hebrew root words and etymology of each of the words. It has commentaries, audio commentaries, just tons of tools. And it's all there at the click of a mouse, which is pretty incredible. I think we take some of this stuff for granted sometimes. So, you know, that's if you guys want to check that out, I'm sure it'll be an incredible resource in your studies. All right, so that once again is blueletterbible.org for those of you who may not know about the site and want to check it out. I put in today a search for light and darkness, and I just, while we're on the theme here, and I thought I'd just read a few of the verses. It says in Isaiah 45:7, "I form the light." This is the Lord speaking. "I form the light and create darkness." He does both. "I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things." Isaiah 58:10. "And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday." Isaiah 59:9. "So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in deep shadows." Jeremiah 13:16. "Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings the darkness." This would be I would take this to be a warning for now, because we are getting ready to enter into darkness. There's already a lot of darkness right now, but it's going to get worse. It says, "Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings the darkness, before your feet stumble on the darkening hills. You hope for light, but he will turn it to thick darkness and change it to deep gloom." And here is a warning for those who long for the day of the Lord, you know, saying, "Let the plan of the Holy One come so that we may see it." I forget what verse that is. I have tons of verses in my memory. I'm just not one of those people that can just roll it off and tell you what verse it is. But I got a lot of quotes you'll find in my podcast. A lot of times I quote verses, but I'm not able to, like, just, you know, tell you exactly where it is. A lot of times I can tell you the chapter, but not chapter and verse. I'm not that good. But it says here in Amos 5:18 and 20 here, "Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light? Pitch dark without a ray of brightness?" I like this verse. This is Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. The people living in darkness, and I think this is a quote, actually a re-quote from Isaiah. This is Matthew quoting it from the Old Testament. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. Have you seen a great light? On those living in the shadow, the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And that light is the bright morning star of Revelation. Jesus says, I am the bright morning star. And that bright morning star dawns just after the darkest part of the night. Let's see here. Let's pick some other good ones here. It says John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Why hasn't the darkness understood it? Probably because there's no light. You know, it's funny. There's, you know, light and darkness. I mean, it's a pretty basic teaching tool. You know, even people that don't believe in God, their teachers are all around them. They just don't pick it up. You know, the teachers are all around them. You know, they got to come into a room and turn the light on before they can see. You know, that should be, it's a glaring witness, really, to be honest with you. There's so many things that are glaring witnesses to people, but they just don't pick up on it. And what is the difference between picking up on it and not picking up on it? And it's the level of awareness. And that's what we as Christians, those of us who are awake, that's what we're trying to do with everybody else, is we're trying to lift their awareness, trying to raise their awareness, bring them to consciousness. You know, it's not any of this freaky transcendental, you know, ascending in your consciousness thing. But there is a point to be made, is that people need to wake up. You know, it's like we need to be a flock of roosters and wake people up and get them to come to that point where they actually notice things that are around them that they normally didn't notice before. They're aware. They have eyes in their head. They're woken up, you know, and that's what we're trying to do. That's what a lot of me and a lot of my friends who do podcasts, that's what we're trying to do. You know, the purpose of bringing this stuff out, it's not to bum everybody out. You know, I personally don't like bumming people out, but I believe that God has called me to be a wrecking ball of sorts, you know. And it's, you know, when you're standing before the Lord, and you know, or when I'm talking to the Lord, I understand that it's a glorious thing to be given a task by the Lord, and I'm not complaining. But in the flesh, it's difficult, you know, because the Bible says that if you love the world, the love of the Father's not in you, you know, and we're not talking about creation or the sunlight. You know, or the wonderful trees and the birds and all the creatures in the sea. We're not talking about God's creation. We're talking about the way of the world. You know, this circus that's been set down over God's creation. That's what we're talking about. You know, we don't want to love man's ways because it's all geared to the flesh. It's geared to the beast who does nothing but serve the god of its stomach, whatever its desires are, you know. So we're trying to wake people up, trying to wake them up, help them to see what's in the darkness, and that's why Jesus likened his churches to lampstands. We got to give light, and in doing that light, you got to be a wrecking ball, you know. You got to come in there and show them the things that they don't want to see that is going to wreck their perception of this world. It stinks. It does. And I know there's a lot of you guys out there that can relate to what I'm saying. You know, you read the Bible and you see God's truth. You're in the Old Testament, you know, even the New Testament. But the Old Testament is a wrecking ball. I'm sorry. You know, the Old Testament's powerful because it just tells it like it is. You know, we've got, as Christians, we have in the New Testament a lot of teachings to the church. And so there's a lot of teaching on doctrine. There's a lot of illuminating things. And I don't say that with the spin that the Luciferians put on that. You know what? Illumination was our word first, so they can bite it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can take their polluted version of the word and bite it. That's all I got to say. I refuse to give up words just because the Luciferians have stigmatized it. You know? We're not backing down. The illumination word, that's going to be our word. How about that? What do you guys say? Let's take back the things the enemy has stolen from us. But it's... The Old Testament's it really is. It really tells you like it is. And we do have the teachings of the New Testament that are you know, the doctrines, the illumination that it gives us, the love of the Lord. But the Old Testament is a lot law, you know, and that's the perfect law of liberty, because it's like a mirror. You look into it, it shows you your flaws. For Christians who have already humbled themselves and come to the Lord, there's no condemnation, because Christ knows you're a sinner. The Father knows we're sinners. It's not about that. It's about you humbling yourself and being in that state of mind where you know you're a sinner, and God knows you've humbled yourself if you're a believer, you know, and you have the Holy Spirit. That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. That's the message of the gospel. And for those that have humbled themselves, Christ came and paid that penalty, which is an incredible thing. If you really think about it, the love that was shown. That's why I just don't get it when people just start railing against Christ. They do not know what they're railing against. They're railing against their own Savior, the life that could save them. It's a love that... You know, who is going to die for an unrighteous man? Like Paul the Apostle says, he says, many will die for, you know, a good man, but few would die for the unrighteous. And that's what Christ did, because He loved us. Love. I know that term gets thrown around, but if you sit down and you meditate on that, you'll see it. But, as I was driving home, I'm subscribed to various different podcasts. I'm subscribed to Ziggy Beats at the Fourth Watch. I really enjoy his podcast. I'm subscribed to Chris White with Nowhere to Run, Frank Lordy at Salvation Revelation. In fact, if you guys want to check out Frank's podcast for, I believe it was February 6th, February 5th, he did a podcast on whether it's like a pre-trib rapture, pre-tribulational rapture, post-tribulational rapture. He basically was talking about the timing of the rapture. And Frank, if you are downloading this podcast, I want to tell you, man, that moved me. It really did. You know, you got a little emotional towards the end, but I want you to know I was right there with you, bro. And it came across, and it was much appreciated. I love you, brother. I really do. And keep up the good work. I'm subscribed to Russ Dizdar with Preemption Broadcast. That guy's on fire, man. That guy's a warrior for the Lord. And he's fearless. So that's awesome. I'm subscribed to Days of Prophecy. Give a shout out to Night Thoughts while we're on a roll here. Night, appreciate the love, man. That guy's awesome. I love his... Night Thoughts is crazy. You guys got to check him out, because he always sounds like he's hunkered down in a bunker somewhere, you know, like somebody's after him. It's just the way his mic effect that he has. It's like, sounds like he's talking into a phone and he's like, shh, gotta be real quiet. It's kind of crazy, but, you know, I love all you guys out there. You're my brothers and sisters, and, you know, everybody's got their own gift. There's some of these guys out here that are hitting the New World Order hard, and we have to do that. My only concern with the New World Order stuff is I kind of feel like it's kind of fruitless to teach their theology. You know, there are some people like Joshua and Caleb who have to go, you know, into the enemy's camp as spies. But that ministry is not for everybody. I think it's kind of fruitless to keep airing out their symbolism and their mentality as far as their so-called doctrine, you know, and what all their symbols mean and how that relates to all the mythical gods, because it kind of just feels like to me like you're almost semi-initiating people into the occult. And I've said this before, but I want to drive this point home, is, you know, and this is an example I use because I think it'll help you guys understand where I'm coming from with this. But like, if you go to a page with Russian on it, and it's in Russian language, you could look at that thing 20 times a day, every day of the week, you're not going to understand anything. It's not even going to affect you to look at that page because you're going to get nothing from it because you don't read the Russian language. You don't understand it. But it, like, let's say you're American or British and you speak English, and you go to an English site, you know, that has English text, immediately it pops out at you. And this, I know this sounds really simple, and I know you guys aren't kindergartners, but the point that I'm trying to make is that once you know the language, you can't, you're unable to, how do I put this? In other words, it pops at it, and you don't have the ability to not see what it's saying. Wow, that took me a while to get out. but, and that's what it's like with the Illuminati symbolism and the their mentality. Their language is in symbols, and once you teach people what all these symbols mean, that stuff's going to pop out at them everywhere. So I think there's a balance, you know, and this is just my personal feelings, you know. I don't know if everybody's going to agree with that or not, but I just don't feel like we should focus on that too much, because once you teach people how to read this language, it's going to pop out at them everywhere. And that's going to give Satan a tool to oppress people, especially God's children. It's almost like before they knew what it meant, he couldn't really attack them. But after they know what it means, it's like, you know, he could be the boogeyman. You know, I'm around you. Ooh, I'm everywhere. All the businesses belong to the New World Order and you're outnumbered. Ooh. Is anybody getting, you know, feeling my vibe, what I'm saying here? And so there is a purpose in it, but there's also a balance. And but I do think we should expose what they're doing with our Constitution. I do think we should expose the fact that they are out in the Bohemian Grove worshiping Lucifer, because it's hidden. That's what a cult means. It's hidden. And we do need to shine a light on it. But I don't think we should teach all of their weird doctrines and stuff and their symbols. Give people a light once over so they can see it. But, man, that stuff can be oppressive. I've been doing a lot of research here lately on the New World Order. I just finished up a two-part podcast with Dr. Walter Veith. If you guys haven't checked that out, you might want to check it out, because it's pretty good. It's a little dry in a couple sections, I admit that. But he's really just setting a foundation so that he can drive his point home. And I think he guy's a good speaker, and he knows what he's talking about. And like, I was listening to part two, and it was a little dry in the beginning, but once he set the foundation for what he was saying, he really got into it, that they're basically going to take property rights away. Their goal is actually to spread democracy, which I thought was kind of weird, because I never really thought about that. Spreading democracy would be one of their actual main goals. I found that really interesting. And on that note, I want to read a poem that I wrote a while back. I dabble in a little bit of poetry here and there. I haven't written any in a while. I can only write when I'm moved by the Holy Spirit. And usually when I am moved, it comes out, it flows out like in 5 or 10 minutes. I really don't have to sit and think about anything. I wrote this probably, I believe it was back in 2003. And it flowed out, and I understand it at one level, but it was kind of weird that I focused on the fact that that America was spreading democracy. And since we're talking about the Illuminati's goal of spreading democracy, I thought it would be kind of fit in real good here if I read this poem. I call it Babylon the Beautiful, M. Erica's song. Just a little play on words. I'm a wordsmith. I like to play with words. It's like M period Erica, you know, like a name. But don't pay any attention to that. I'm just kind of weird like that, you know. But you guys can check it out. My MySpace username is Nixter22, Nixter22. If you guys want to check out my blog, I've got some stuff written on there. Goes way back. You can actually see how I've grown a little bit. I think I joined in 2005. And man, I went through some dark times and wrote some, kind of just got dead honest at times and just wrote things down. Plus I posted all my poetry. So if you guys feel like checking that out, it's myspace.com/Nixter22, Nixter. But let me read this poem to you. It's Babylon the Beautiful, America Song. It goes, Babylon, O Babylon, the city finds no sleep. She sits as queen upon the earth and slaughters all its sheep. Her merchants were the mighty men who plunder, steal, and kill. Justified by stars with stripes, they do just what they will. Money makes her world go round. She wields it like an axe. Under the guise of liberty, she deals out her attacks. She cuts down trees not her own and plucks out all the root. Telling lies, she justifies as she plunders all the loot. Who would dare to criticize and make her give account? She laughs at kings as she sings upon her righteous mount. Her lovers are the men of wealth who dwell upon the earth. Pregnant with democracy, she labors to give birth. Beautiful, O beautiful, with amber ways of gain. Can't you see your harlotry is the source of all your pain? You desecrate your heritage and glory in your shame. You trample on the laws of God to blaspheme his holy name. Fallen, fallen, north and south is Babylon the Great. Mortally wounded, you struggle in death, but will not change your fate. And I won't expound upon that. On the Babylon theme, I'll leave the mystery hanging there as to how you guys want to interpret that. But I was just checking this out, and I have another poem that I thought was real interesting because it's called Avoid the Coming Trap, Secrets. I wrote this one, I think, in 2004 because I foresaw that Satan was going to draw a lot of people in through secrets, you know. Because you can get somebody really interested in something if it's, ooh, it's not supposed to be something that you are supposed to know. It's a secret. Ooh, stolen bread eaten in secret is delicious, you know. It's, people love secrets. They love mysteries. And I'll let you guys interpret this how you will. It's called Avoid the Coming Trap, Secrets. The secrets are sweet like tasty morsels of fruit. They go down inside and poison at the root. You feel your desire stirred. You feel your need to know. This is the trap set for you. Into prison you will go. The medicine of knowledge acts as a virus to your mind. It clogs up all the arteries, so truth you cannot find. Do you know the difference between what's black and what's white? Do you know how wrong has been twisted into right? Black is white, white is black. Which way did I go? Which way takes me back? Give me a reason, give me the dawn, give me a handle so I can hold on. The whirlwind is blowing, events all unwind. We think it's all natural. We don't know we're blind. Technology is growing. It's bewitched how we think. We can't see the earth is almost on the brink. The peoples are oceans. They roar like the sea. Anger is growing like a bitterness tree. Babylon is confused. They see words inside words. Their sanity is flying away with the birds. Everything is suspect. Truth is thrown down. Trust is a dying thought that never made a sound. We wanted to be random. We wanted to mess with minds. We wanted to be free to think thoughts of various kinds. Welcome to the world we made, where fantasy rules and realities fade. Drink the cup of mystery. Drink all that you must know. Drink the cup of madness to the bottom of its flow. Curiosity killed the cat. Remember that. All right, I hope you guys like that poem. Again, I do believe that Satan uses secrets to draw people into his web of disillusionment, draw them into the confusion labyrinth. And people are falling for it. That's part of the reason why I believe that some of these conspiracies have been left out in the open. As I think about it, I'm just having a hard time believing that they left all that evidence open during 9/11. They had to know that this stuff was going to get out. And I don't think they're stupid by any means. I think they knew this stuff was going to get out, and they're playing people. And one of the things I think they're doing is they wanted to draw people into the conspiracies, into these truth movements, to get them initiated somewhat into the occult, because the beast is revealing itself. It even says that in the Bible. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's start at verse 1. A lot of you guys are familiar with this passage. It's Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica, and he is, verse 1, let me just start out. It says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposedly having come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. And I think it's interesting with all these new texts that are supposedly lost books of the Bible or Bibles that weren't included into the biblical canon of Scripture, the 66 books, like the Book of Thomas and the Book of Mary Magdalene and all this stuff. I mean, Paul was talking to them back then. He's saying, don't become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us. Okay? So I'm thinking that since he was telling them that, that there was already other people trying to, like, counterfeit their letters, you know, writing stuff that they were saying was coming from the Lord, or, you know, that was divinely inspired, or, you know, maybe they were using some of the apostles' names and writing things down, and people were starting to freak out, saying, what is this? Well, Paul addressed it. He said not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from them. It says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs. And what is that rebellion? It's the basic rebellion in the hearts of men. and women. It's basically where the world gets so corrupt that they totally turn their backs on God. And look at how the condition of the world is. People are getting not only just sick of God, but sick of religion and everything. It's like they just want to throw it off. You know, they just want to, they don't want to have anything to do with it. They'd rather make up beliefs in evolution and all kinds of other excuses, you know, rather than believing in God. It's a rebellion. We're there. And it says, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and what? And the man of lawlessness is revealed. Who is the man of lawlessness? Every man that has lawlessness in his heart, which goes right along with the theme of Satan. It's not just one Antichrist, not just one man of lawlessness, although it does speak to that. It's also any person that has lawlessness in their heart. They don't want to have anything to do with God's laws. It says that the rebellion will occur and the man of lawlessness will be revealed, the man doomed to destruction. And then he goes on and he says, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. And this is that proper time that Paul is talking about, because that the secret societies, the Freemasons, everything's coming out because they can. Because the world is so corrupt, they don't even care. In fact, we got some people that just get off on this stuff. They're eating it up like it's entertainment. Oh, give me more Freemason information, you know? Oh, I want to see all about this stuff. This is cool. He goes on in verse 7, and he says, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. The secret societies were already working in his day. The secret power of lawlessness. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And that's that falling away. The King James calls it, it says, that day will not come until a falling away occurs, an apostasy from the truth. And once that apostasy from the truth happens, the world is ready for that secret power of lawlessness to be revealed. And I think that refers to the secret societies. I really do. So, you know, it's like people are getting geared up with lawlessness in their hearts. And to be honest, they're going to be perfectly ready if a man shows up. Who is that man of lawlessness, the Antichrist? They're going to be ready to fall right in line behind him. The people are ready. They're ready for him. So, you know, to go back to the whole thing with the conspiracies and why they're being let out into the open, I think, you know, there was so much that went wrong with 9/11, or they knew that was going to go wrong, or they allowed it to go wrong, that they were just drawing people into the conspiracy world, and they knew people would get drawn into that labyrinth. And once they're in that labyrinth, their perception of reality was broken, and they were open to other things that they wouldn't have been open to if they hadn't have been drawn in through the 9/11 events and the things that were left in the open, the things that were obvious. For instance, you know, the Pentagon. It was a 16-foot hole. Then it collapsed into a larger hole. You know, there's no way a jet could have went in that, you know, fit in there. The tail section didn't do the damage that a tail section would have done. There was no pieces of jet found. There's so many questions. You know, Building 7 collapsing on its own. You know, the little pieces of the beams sticking up out of the rubble with a 45-degree angle cut with molten metal dripping down it as if, you know, we couldn't see that thermite was used. You know, they knew all this stuff was going to go out, and I think it's all part of the Luciferian plan to draw people into the conspiracies and then disillusion them with their government, make them see you were deceived. You were deceived, and look at how people can be deceived. And once you get to that point, you start realizing that, you know, well, what the heck else have I been deceived about? You know, now that you've crashed into my world and showed me that there have been lies going on all around me, you start to wonder if there's a conspiracy behind every single rock and bush, you know, hiding around every corner, and you sit there and you think, what the heck else in my life has been lies? And then you suck them in a little bit deeper. Because, you know, when you get to that point and you start seeing these lies, you want to know more. You're like, you know, I just want to clear out all the bull crap and figure out what the truth is. So you start digging and digging, and you take in more of this conspiracy information, and you're digging and digging, and you're trying to find the truth. And in trying to find the truth, you're going deeper into the rabbit hole. You're learning more about the Illuminati symbols. You're getting more information. You're clogging up the arteries of your spirit, you know, and your head's spinning. You know, you're getting totally disillusioned, and you're searching for that. And here comes along a guy like Michael Tessarion, who is supposedly exposing the New World Order. So you're taking in his info, and he's slipping that stuff in there, that zeitgeist stuff. You know, like, oh, Christ is just another long line of sun gods who was resurrected, like Mithra. And you got guys like David Icke, who are just plainly, you know, atheistic to the point where if you mention anything about God, it's like lighting a fire under his rear end, and he gets all pissed off, and you can tell. It's totally obvious, you know, and he's talking about all this reptilian crap, you know, and it gets so deep and so crazy that pretty soon you realize that you are in that whirlwind that God talked about, because things are spinning around and you don't know what's real. And it's at that point that you're weak, and Satan can undermine whatever faith you have. He can start making you think, you know, we're getting bombarded here. This is a spiritual war. And we've got to wake up, because we've got to see that this is the day of revelation. The test is falling upon man. You know, we got the Da Vinci Code coming out that's drawing people into the conspiracies. You got all these supposed new books of the Bible that have been coming out. You got Mike, Cameron. I can't remember his first name. The guy that did Titanic. You know, you got him coming out with this other guy saying they found a tomb with Jesus and Mary, and they had a child, you know, right around Easter. All this stuff is coming out. And this is a spiritual battle to undermine your faith. If you're a believer, it is specifically to undermine your faith. These are fiery darts that are being aimed at you by Lucifer. And if people can't wake up and see that this is a spiritual battle going on for the hearts and souls of men, it's obvious. How can even the atheists out there see that this is not a battle pitting, you know, people who believe in God against those that are trying to undermine that? That alone should just prove to you that the book of Revelation is true, because it's the battle of Armageddon, at least spiritually, it is. You know, and I get fired up about this because, you know, a lot of people are getting rocked with this. A lot of people who thought they were solid in their faith are starting to have doubts about the Bible, doubts about God, and this is ridiculous. All over secrets and conspiracies. We've got to think deeper. We've got to think beyond what they're just offering us. You know, this is a treacherous road, because we do have to expose them. We do have to talk about what they're doing. We have to, because if we don't, then they're just going to be left asleep in the American dream, and they're going to be dragged right into the New World Order, not even knowing what's happening. So the only way you can wake them up and make them see that they need a savior, that they have woken up in the book of Revelation, that we are there, and that this is a battle, sometimes you gotta be that wrecking ball and smash their perception of the dream that they're living in. But in doing that, Satan's got all of these false doors that say this is the truth on it. No, this one's the truth. Oh, you found it now. Boy, you found the door. You finally found that real passageway that ends up the truth. You're there. But they're all dead ends. You know, because they're leading them, oh, you figured out 9/11, you figured out the conspiracy. Ooh, the government's so weak, you're so smart, and you figured out all these conspiracies, and you know what's going on. But they're leading you down into the rabbit hole, and they set us up with this in 1999 with the movie The Matrix. Can anybody see this? Can anybody out there, please, guys, email me, contact me. I am just dying to know if there's anybody out there seeing what I'm seeing, picking up on it. This is a setup. Yes, we do need to attack. We do need to attack their mentalities by exposing what they're doing, but there's also a danger in that because we're partially playing into their hands by doing this, leading them to that disillusionment, leading them into that New Age philosophy and all these, you know, all these gods and how everything just lines up. I don't know if any of you guys have checked out William Cooper's series on Mystery of Babylon, but he talks about that. I mean, if you listen to one of the lectures that he gave, Egyptian Magic, even as a strong believer in Christ, you're going to sit there and say, wow, there are a lot of similarities. But see, Satan knew Christ was coming. He knew the Messiah was coming. If you knew that somebody was going to try to find something, wouldn't you just counterfeit it and drop all kinds of other things down? It's like, you know, trying to find a needle in a haystack. You know, if truth was a golf ball, Satan would drop down all kinds of other golf balls right on top of it. So that when you found the real golf ball, you're not sure if it's the real one because all the other ones look a lot like it. And that's the thing we're dealing with all these sun gods and Isis and Horus and Mithra and all this stuff. It's bull. So I'm trying to rescue people. I'm trying to rescue them and salvage their faith before they get so deep into this that they start believing this crap. We're being led to accept the Antichrist and to think that it's probably what's going to go down is that the Antichrist is going to show up, and a lot of people are going to think that he's Christ setting up the millennial reign because Satan is the one that has caused the oppression with all of this technology and the Federal Reserve, the way the monetary system works, and you can't get out of debt. All of the oppressive laws, you know, and everybody's like a debt prisoner. There's just, I can't think right now, but there's so many oppressive things, you know. You could just go on and on and on. Just take the medicine field, pharmaceuticals, you know, all these medicines that are just, you know, they don't do anything. Half of them are like a placebo effect. You know, but they are killing people. They're poisoning people. Look at these antidepressants that are just deadening the frontal lobe. They're not fixing anybody. All they're doing is just deadening people's conscience. You know, it's not fixing the root of the problem. It's just taking away their ability to feel bad. And that takes away the feeling for everything. That takes away everything. You lose the highs on the good. And you lose the lows on the bad. So you're just kind of just cruising right along, you know. And it definitely takes away the alarm bells. You know, there are alarm bells that go off when you get into something, that some place that's dangerous for you. You know, if you're doing something wrong, God put that innate thing in you, that conscience, you know, to ding, 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 ding. You know, something's wrong. You're depressed. Maybe there's something in your life you should make a change, you know. So you got the medicine industry, and now you see this turnaround. You see this turnaround with the medicines. You see this homeopathic stuff coming out. It's already starting. We're already starting to get little temptations of what could be coming. We're seeing some organic foods and all natural things come out. We're seeing some alternative medicine therapies coming out. We're getting tastes of it. It's like the oppression's there. But it's like, you know, this little bit of stuff's coming out to give you a glimpse of what's coming. And then we're going to get whammo, all this chaos, you know, and then Antichrist will probably show up and he'll remove all these burdens, all these new medicine therapies that'll come out that'll heal people, you know. We'll get rid of the fluoride in the water. They'll take aspartame out of the diet drinks. You know, the food will get healthier. You know, the laws will be changed. And people may think that this is Christ. And this is where we're going, because the Bible says that when there's peace and safety. If you guys hear me, I noticed that my mouse is really squeaky, so I'm really, really apologize about that. I'm going to have to change mouses here because this mic, this new mic I got, is really sensitive. And you're probably picking up my mouse clicking here, so I'm sorry about that. It's not the worst thing in the world. But let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul the Apostle says, "Now, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." Now, a lot of people quote that, but you need to know that he doesn't come like a thief in the night to those who are awake, to those virgins who woke up, trimmed their lamps, and are ready for the Lord. He doesn't come like a thief in the night to those who are awake and watching for him. He comes to those who are sleeping, to those who aren't looking for him. Listen. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. When have they said peace and safety? When have we had peace and safety? You know what that sounds a lot like? It sounds like the time where the Antichrist comes, tries to deceive people into thinking he's Christ, setting up the millennial reign, and there's peace and safety, finally. And then people take the mark, and then God comes back and sends his wrath, brings his wrath on them. You know, he judges them once they're marked, because that kind of separates the wheats and the tares, because the true believers aren't taking the mark. Those who are taking the mark, they got the mark. The Lord comes back, and he says, "Everybody line up in front of me. Stick out your hands. Let me see it." You know, and everybody lines up and they're all separated for him, because those who are belong to the beast are marked by the beast and branded as his. But that peace and safety thing is a curious thing, because do we have peace and safety now? No. When have we had peace and safety? There have been wars and wars and wars. That peace and safety thing, and I just want to plant this seed, file it away. If you don't agree with me, at least file it away. Keep it in your mind in case something happens. And this might make sense later on. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Now, what's going on now? The economy crashing, that could be being manipulated in the financial markets by the rich men in the earth, by the elites. The food shortages, all this stuff that looks bad, these wars, they're all being fomented by man. So this could be Satan's wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. This isn't God's wrath. When God's wrath comes, we're going to know it. We are seriously going to know it. There's going to be no question about it when it's God's wrath. So Satan has got his wrath going on. He's working his little games on the earth, you know. A lot of these leaders of the country, these heads of state, they're all in the Bilderbergs. They're all in the same groups. They're all running the same circles. It's like they're playing a worldwide governmental political soap opera for us and just keeping us getting caught up in it, not knowing that it's manipulated. So we play along. We're like, ooh, I got to vote Democrat because I don't like those Republicans, because we always go to war when the Republicans are in. And, you know, or, you know, I got to vote Republican because those liberal Democrats, they're going to take us right into socialism. So, you know, we've got to be smarter. And the only way we can do that is mankind doesn't have the wisdom to get through this. The only one that gives you the wisdom to get through this and the discernment is our Father, who watches out for his children. And he has given us the Holy Spirit who will lead us into all truth. His word is truth. I'm telling you, the Bible gives you light. You don't understand how it works, but if you just keep reading it, God's word is powerful. It will go into you and knit into your spirit. It's like a seed, and it grows wisdom. Thy word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. It gives us light. It lights all this stuff up so you can see, so you can see these traps. It's a lamp. These guys work in darkness, but if you have the light of God's word and the light of his Holy Spirit, you can see it. It's awesome. I want that for you guys. For those of you out there who are struggling, and man, you got books out the yin yang, and you're reading all this stuff because you know you're searching for the truth. Jesus Christ, I'm here to inform you. Jesus Christ said he was the truth. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ was the living magnification glass to the written Word. He lived it. It's like the words of the Bible came to life and became a living example, which is Jesus Christ. He lived it. He magnified it so that we could understand it through what he said. He even did that with the Pharisees. You know, Pharisees like, oh, you can't go out in that field and feed your disciples. Oh, you can't heal on the Sabbath. And they were using the law and implementing it in the wrong way. Jesus came and magnified the word. He said he came to show us what the true meaning of God's word was because he's the master teacher. This is what's coming. I believe they're drawing us into these conspiracies for a reason because there's a program that they're working. And it was time. And they had to wait until humanity became corrupted to a certain point where their hearts were hardened and they loved wickedness enough to the point where they could come out and they say, oh, humanity's ripe now. They're ripe with corruption enough to where we can bring this out and they're going to get sucked right in. And they've got various groups. You got people that are asleep. They're going to stay asleep. They're just going to follow it right in because they're like, oh, this is America. You know, red, white, and blue. How patriotic. You know, salute. You got some people that are woken up. The people that were going to wake up on 9/11, they had to have another gig to deceive them. And those are the ones that they want to initiate. And everybody who won't buy into all this, they know are true, and those are the ones they're warring against. But they left, I truly believe this. I'm repeating it on purpose because I want you to get my point because I'm like rambling and I'm all over the place. But I believe they left this evidence in the open only for the sharp people. Those things that they left out to be seen are picked up by those who are sharp, okay? The watchers, the watchmen, the people who are awake enough to see it because those were the ones that they really had to trap. The other people are asleep, man. You don't have to worry about those. They're sleeping. They're snoring. They're ready to just go to McDonald's, get their Big Mac, and chomp their way into the new age. So it was the people who were going to wake up that they had to have a trick for, a labyrinth, a matrix. And they were setting us up for this with The Matrix, the movie The Matrix. They were setting us up, and it's really cool. We all use it, the blue pill and red pill analogy, but you think about the psychological imprint that made and how they were leading us into it. You take the red pill, you see how deep the rabbit hole goes. You take the blue pill, you stay in Wonderland, you know? And it was all just too cool and too slick, and it was very entertaining. I'm not saying anything about that. Highly entertaining, but when is Satan not going to deceive somebody? When it's not entertaining, or it's not interesting, or it's not tempting. Satan uses things that are tempting. If they're not tempting, it's not going to be a bait, and it's not going to work to get you trapped. You know? And they got them all fighting, you know, the people of the Matrix. That's us fighting the New World Order, fighting the Matrix. And yeah, we got to do it because they are doing this stuff. I hope I'm explaining this where it's understandable. I'm not saying we shouldn't expose what they're doing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we do have to do it, but we have to be smart because there's traps. They're pulling a lot of people into the conspiracies and the interesting stuff and making people think that they're so smart figuring everything out. And they're leading them into disillusionment and trying to get them all caught up in everything, this crazy stuff, and hopefully, you know, keep them away from Christ and the truth, and to stigmatize religion and stigmatize everything because that's just another conspiracy and that's just another control of man. It's like almost like lawlessness and anarchy, you know, fight the man, fight this, fight that, fight government, put everything off. You're totally independent. You're the lone wolf figuring everything out, you know, and we've got to watch out for this. Boy, I got fired up there. I hope I got out what I needed to get out because this has been bugging me for a long time. And I listened to a lot of stuff. And it just seems like the same thing over and over and over again. It reminds me of that Illuminati swirly symbol. You know, the supposed swirly symbol that is like a metaphor for going around and up the spiral staircase until you're illuminated at the top, till you finally, that search for truth. They're cycling us around through these events, like teaching us to come to that revelation on our own, that, hey, the Bible was a conspiracy too, you know, that it's just going to be the secular world age. No religion, it's just mankind can do it. The Tower of Babel. We all come together. We throw all that off and we can have all these good things without God. We don't need God. That's an outdated thing. Man is God. Man's consciousness united together is the great God. We can ascend. God was just trying to confine you. You shall not surely die. God just knows that in the day that you eat of this, your eyes will be opened and you can be like him. He's holding you back. Bull snot. Whoever's going to trust is going to trust. This is a day where you take your stand. What side are you on? Do you trust God or are you going to listen to the lies of the serpent? Because I'm going to tell you the secret. Ooh, I just got your attention, didn't I? Because I mentioned secret. But the point that I'm trying to make is, seriously, I believe the secret to all this is God is allowing Satan to do his best tempting work because it's kind of like Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory. When Willy was looking for that little boy who would be honest and wouldn't give in to the temptations and would do the right thing to give that everlasting gobstopper back. And God's plan is so much greater than that movie. It pales in comparison. That movie's flawed in so many ways compared to God's plan. But it's kind of like that. I believe God is looking for those who will be faithful because he doesn't want his kingdom to be like anything in this world. And that's why Jesus said we were to overcome the world as he overcame the world. So for those of you out there who are listening, who have ears to hear, hear. For those of you out there who have eyes to see, may you see. There is a lot at stake here. This is deep. I'm trying to dig a little bit deeper. I'm not the greatest person to do research, but I flow from my heart, and maybe that's why my brain just rambles all over the place sometimes. But you know what? I'm working so hard to get you guys, like, to get what God's given me to you guys, and I really apologize for my mouth, you know, and my communication skills, and my you know, my brain. I did drugs in the past. God saved me out of it, but I'm sorry. I'm just you know, I'm not as sharp as I used to be. But if I can rescue one person, that person can never be anybody else. So the whole world to them is a whole world. One person rescued who will place their faith in Christ and be and join me in the kingdom of God, where I can look at that person on that day, you know, and know that God used me as a tool out of his toolbox to rescue that person. Because God does all the work. He just uses us as his instruments. And that's where we get our glory. That's where our glory is. We're like, wow, the master used me. God's awesome. And his name is being blasphemed, and they're trying to stigmatize you against God by giving him a bad rap all the time. You know, they're giving Christianity a bad name. George Bush, you know, is saying, I'm a Christian. And look what he's doing. They're doing this on purpose. He's not a Christian. He's a Freemason. You know, and I hope you guys get where I'm going with this. I'm not, you know, you're going to see me exposing the New World Order. I'm going to keep doing stuff because I feel like we need to. I'm going to try to do it in a way that is balanced. I'm going to try. And I'm not perfect. I'm very imperfect. You know, some of these things I may feel that I have to air out, even though it has something deeper in it that might not be necessary. But let's try to balance this. Let's not initiate people so deeply. You know, it's just to inoculate them. That's why I have for my tagline is deception is all around you. Vaccinate yourself with truth. What happens in a vaccination process? You get exposed to the disease, but it's a weaker form of the disease. So you can get a look at it and know how to fight it. You know, I'm not about giving people the disease itself. I'm about giving them a weaker form of the disease so they know what's coming and they can prepare. But also giving them the good stuff, the vitamins, the Word of God. God is good. Lucifer is evil. God is light. Lucifer is darkness. Let's not get that mixed up, because Lucifer has a mentality that he's trying to preach to man that his way is right and God is wrong. And God says, woe to those who put light for darkness and darkness for light. Woe to those who put good for evil and evil for good. Flipping the tables. They're going to say, you know, under the banner of tolerance, you know, look at those Christians. They're so narrow-minded. They can't let other people just worship the way they want to. Live and let live. You know, and it's in my flesh, because that's what it is flesh. In the man part of me, I can see that because I have the ability to see that. I live in the flesh like other people, but I don't walk in the flesh. I walk in the spirit. We have the mind of Christ. We put on the mind of Christ and we look back at our flesh and what our flesh thinks is right. And you're like, no, that's not right. That's why Solomon said there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end still leads to death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the way leads to death. And that way that seems right is what Satan's going to be preaching. You know? Let everybody have their little idiosyncrasies and they're just characters. Let mankind flower. Let him do whatever he wants. We'll just get rid of God's laws and then we can do whatever we want. And that sounds good in the flesh. And that's what Jesus was warning us against. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He knew that the flesh is fallen and it would want to follow that way. The flesh wants to survive. But Jesus Christ allowed his flesh to be crucified on the cross. And then what survived was what was resurrected. The spirit with the new spirit body. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, he must deny himself. You're going to have to deny yourself certain things because they lead to destruction, even though your flesh is craving them. Man, I could go on and on and on with this, but I hope I'm never satisfied with my podcast. I'm really not. But, you know, if I don't put this out, it'll never get put out. And I'm just going to have to let it fly. So I hope it's funny. Sometimes I'll start out doing a podcast like I meant to do something different. And then, you know, the Holy Spirit hits me and I just go off in another direction. I just feel that's important. So I go with it. And then I don't even know what the title of my podcast. It should just be like Scatter Chatter, you know. But I feel like the things that come out, that flow out, that come into my mind and into my spirit, that they're important, so I speak it. And I hope you guys are saying right now, man, I got something from that. I never saw that. I never saw how they were leading us into the rabbit hole for a reason. You know, Satan uses the white rabbit opposite of Christ on Resurrection Day versus Easter, you know. The Matrix said, follow the white rabbit. Maybe we shouldn't follow the white rabbit. Maybe we should follow the one who's on the white horse, Christ. And I'm not trying to just be cliche. I mean that. We've got to get into the Word. I'm thinking about doing a study in Isaiah, but, you know, a lot of people are listening to my podcast because they want to know about the New World Order. And I've got to balance it, you know. I want to get the Word out there. But I'm thinking about doing a podcast series on a study of Isaiah. I was listening to it the other night. I was like, this is the message. This is it. There's so much in there if you just understand the nation's ancient names. And that God deals with all the nations the same. That the prophecies in Isaiah were actually just as important for our day. They were like a near-far prophecy. It's amazing. So we'll just see where the Lord leads me. And we'll roll with it. But we're sitting at 1 hour, 8 minutes, and 40 seconds right now. So I got to wind this cast up. And take it down, but man, I hope you guys got something from this. I really do. You guys are, you know, I wish you'd email me. Let me know what you're thinking, because that would be really cool. You know, you can email me at truthstream, truthstream, at podomatic.com, or you can email my personal address. In fact, I'd rather you email my personal address because the TrueStream at Podomatic, it works, but they have a little glitch in the email program. It's a little bit more of a pain in the butt. So for those of you who want to email me personally, you can email me at epiphos@hotmail.com, epiphos@hotmail.com. You guys can visit my site at truthstream.podomatic.com. truthstream.podomatic.com. And on the right side, as I always say, if you just focus towards the right, there's a lot of cool little things there. I've got links to the discussion forum that you guys can go, and if you hit the link to the discussion forum, you go to the TrueStream Oasis podcast discussion folder. There's each podcast listed with the reference materials, and you can always just click reply on those, and you can discuss all you want. Discuss away. There's other folders with other topics you can discuss, trying to get people into that, because that would be really cool. And I have a listener call in line. That's 206-350-0054. You guys are welcome to call in there with comments, questions, anything. Even if you disagree with me, because that'll sharpen me, you know. you know, there are definitely things that I don't see. I got blind sides just like everybody, blind spots. So, you know, if you see me straying in some way, you know, let me know, because I only want truth, you know. So, you know, you guys are welcome to email me, welcome to call my listener line, visit my site. Also, I want to remind people, under each podcast, under the description, there's a link that says comments. You guys can go there and make comments about the podcast as well. But I'm going to wind this up. I love you guys because you love the Lord and you love His Word and you thirst for it. You thirst for that living water that flows from the throne, that truth stream. And I appreciate you guys listening. It's fun hanging out. You know, I really enjoy doing this. You know, if you guys are getting anything from this podcast, if you enjoy it, that's cool. But I want you to know that I need to minister in some way. I need to get this out, and it's just as enjoyable for me. It's awesome when God gives you a gift, because it's really fun to use that gift. And it's so awesome to do a podcast and know that you're reaching people. That's just a great joy. I get excited to come home every night and see if I've, you know, I've gotten emails, or somebody's visiting the site, or you know, did somebody make a comment? How many downloads? Whether it's really fun. It gives me something to look forward to, because otherwise my life's pretty boring. You know, it's just working for the man. You know, go to work, come home, get up, do it again. You know, so this opportunity has brought a lot of joy in my life, and all you guys that have gotten involved with the podcast, I want you to know that I'm really grateful for that. I really am. And I guess that's why I'm on here begging you guys to email me all the time, because I really love it when people get involved. So let's see here. Before I wind this up, a couple people made some comments on my site. I wanted to give a shout out to Don, let you know, I appreciate the comment. He gave me a shout out. He said, "Great work. I smell revival in the air," with like 5 exclamation points. That's great. I do too. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I feel like there's going to come a moment where the Lord, when the time is right, the Lord's just going to let His Holy Spirit loose. He says, "It shall come to pass in the last days that I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." That's going to be awesome. And he's doing it. But I think there's going to come a time where He's going to do it on a massive scale, when people are ready. And we're pretty much there, because we're not going to be able to stop this New World Order just talking about it. We really have got to get down on our knees and ask God for deliverance, because God will do something. Days of Prophecy stopped by. He said, "Hey man, I really enjoyed the 9/11 series podcast. Keep hitting hard. God bless." I'm trying, Guardian. I'm trying, man. I'm trying to do that. But I want to give you guys a heads up. If you go to my site, there's a guy named Keith. He's a buddy of mine. He's the one I spoke to. He's the founder of Liber TV. And he's getting ready to start up a podcast. I'm giving you a little teaser on this, because this guy's knowledgeable. He really is. And I'm telling you, once this guy, he's just got to learn how to do the podcasting. Once he gets this down and he gets rolling, he's going to rock. I'm telling you, this guy is one of the most knowledgeable people that I've ever met in my life. He knows the Constitution inside and out. And it's going to be, you just watch. I think probably me and Keith are going to start a radio network. So once we get that going, I'll be taking invitations for anybody that wants to join. The only qualification is you got a burning desire for our Savior to serve Him. But I just wanted to give you a heads up on Keith. He's the guy on my site that has the Boycott Fox animation. This guy's hardcore, man. He's cool. But, you know, you guys stay strong. stay in the faith, be gentle as doves, but wise as serpents, as Jesus said. And I'm praying for you. I do pray for you every day that God would open all of the eyes of your understanding, because that's important. Because if we can understand the things that God has for us, gives us discernment, helps us to see the traps that men set for us, that's half the battle right there. And the other half is His Holy Spirit, that love for Him and the power to stay out of these temptations. Because we're living in really difficult days. I don't think we realize it. You know, it's not like Little House on the Prairie days, man. You know, there's mad temptation everywhere. Mad. So, anyway, I'm rambling on and on and on. You guys email me at epiphos@hotmail.com, E-P-I-P-H-O-S. Visit my site at truestream.podomatic.com. And keep rocking in the free world, all right? I'm your host, Amos Ridley. And if I don't see you on this side, I will definitely see you on the other side.
You can try to test my belief in you, oh God. But I won't turn away. They may throw stones and outcast me for my belief in you. They can take what I own, but they can't take what I have inside. They can't take you away, I won't let it go until you take me in your arms. Yeah, yeah. I'll give all I have because of your sacrifice, because the death of Jesus Christ. From the start, you came and you loved me always, and I love you from here on. Though my memories may slowly slip away, yeah, your love for me will always stay the same. Though my body may one day die away, my heart will always be yours until that day. They can take what I own, but they can't take what I have inside. They can't take you away, I won't let it go until you take me in your arms. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I will give all I have because of your sacrifice, because I left of Jesus Christ. From body.